Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
In the religious tradition in which I was raised, there was one doctrine which seemed to be emphasized more than any other. While bringing all the tithes into the storehouse was indeed part and parcel of nearly every message, this particular doctrine of which I speak stood head and shoulders above even that, and formed the basis upon which every man's salvation ultimately rested. That foundational truth was articulated as, once saved, always saved. The way it was presented was this: Jesus Christ died to give every man the possibility of being saved. All that any man had to do to take advantage of that which Christ had provided was to take him up on his offer of salvation by making a decision to accept Christ as his personal Savior and thereby be assured of eternal life. Because once that transaction was made, a man was eternally saved and could then never perish, regardless of what else he might do or not do, even if he denied the faith which he once professed. He was in. His ticket to heaven was punched, and nothing could take it away from him. He then had eternal security. Akin to nearly every other false doctrine, this concept is extremely close to the truth. While in reality missing the mark and giving multitudes of spurious professors a false sense of peace and security, while serving to plunge these religious captives into an even darker abyss. The error in this instruction, as it was propagated at the time and still is today, was not in the teaching that the Lord keeps those whom he saves and none shall perish. For the scriptures are abundantly clear that he will keep his people from falling and will reject none who seek him. The Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Rather, the error lies in teaching that salvation is some sort of covenant or agreement which a man has the power to accept or reject according to the whim of his own free will. This teaching has perverted the preaching of the gospel and turned it into a cooperative and collaborative effort between God and man to bring the man's salvation to pass, rather than the gospel being, as the scriptures plainly teach, the declaration of that redemption which Christ has both purchased and applied to those who are the objects of his grace and mercy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. Exactly how long the Lord has known them is revealed in Paul's letter to Timothy, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Lord doesn't know them because of something they have done, or that he foresaw they would do, but rather they are caused to believe because he knows them, because they belong to him. The determination of God to keep those that are his is revealed to be his determined purpose in the sending of Christ into the world to save his people from their sins. Thus we see this set forth in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane: "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." It is impossible that he should lose any of those which are given to him, since he is the faithful guardian or shepherd of his flock. He has specifically come into the world to secure their salvation by his life, death, and resurrection. He does also manifest that same salvation to them by the gift of faith. There is no other way in which the sons of God can be known, or that they can know of this salvation, apart from the application of faith, which is the gift of God. We are justified by faith, not as an activity of the flesh, but by the revelation of Christ as the basis of that justification. In like fashion, we are preserved by the same faith, which is the power of God. Then it must be true that everyone for whom the salvation which Christ procured in his perfect and finished work of redemption must be preserved in that salvation. They are kept by his power, which in fact shall be manifested in the last day.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.